The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back, and it has been a very busy day with the news out of the Pac-12. Their season begins the same day as the SEC. The NBA started last night. Remember, it was just a week ago. We were all celebrating the return of the MLB. Well, a report now from Jeff Passan at this hour saying that Rob Manfred has told the MLBPA executive director that if the sport doesn't do a better job quickly of managing COVID-19, he is going to shut Major League Baseball down after a week. Let's move on to college football, and we've talked so much about safety. And our next guest, Chris Hinton, is a seven-time Pro Bowler. His wife played college athletics, and he also has two amazingly great kids in addition to being five-star athletes. So one is at Michigan, one is at Stanford. And Chris, thank you very much for joining us. I've seen and heard you comment in recent days about the return to play, and we are really looking forward to talking to you. Good afternoon.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's delighted to talk to you about this, and I want you just to take us through the process. I mean, you're in such a unique, both of you and your wife, being not only student athletes, but great student athletes, to watch this process that we're all going through right now. I know you've taken your sons back to school. You're watching this like we all are. Really interested, first of all, in what you've seen and experienced and what you've heard from your kids about what they are currently going through on college campuses.
Well, it seems like we've been talking about this whole thing for a year, and it's only really been the last, I don't know, 60 days or so, and 63 months at the most. And it all started when the NCAA, I think it was May 23rd, said that June 1st was the start date that you could have kids back on campus. And there are guidelines that were put out, non-binding, non-enforceable guidelines that, and so what happened, kids went back and no enforceable guidelines, I think led to a lot of spiking in cases of COVID. And so we started our college football parents 24/7 association just to kind of give our kids a voice, give the parents a voice. And so now wearing the hat of parents and organizers of this organization, it's tough watching it play out. As you know, it's very fluid, and there's a lack of information being put out, and so it's tough as parents to sit and watch and take your 18-year-old off to miles away to the other side of the country for to kick off his college experience.
I want to ask you this because I heard from a very prominent person the other day whose son plays college football, just like you did. He saw me on television commenting on the safety, and this guy, and you would know him, asked me, "Do you think it's safe? Because and do you have any idea what's going on?" And he gave me the school and the conference, and he said, "Because I can't get a straight answer out of anyone." So I ask you the same question. You are a father. It doesn't matter that you were a seven-time All-Pro. What are you hearing from? And you're dealing with two really respected coaches in Jim Harbaugh and David Shaw. It would be hard to find two that would qualify any higher. But what do you hear from people at those two schools about the safety protocols?
Yeah, as parents of our boys, I think Jim and David, I think they've done a great job. We have gotten a lot of information from them, you know, via Zoom. Initially, Jim sent out a survey to all the parents. This was a while ago when it first started, just to get an idea. Are you comfortable with your son coming back to campus? You know, questions like that, and just to kind of gauge moving forward. And so we have been informed. But I kind of use the picture of if you're the skinniest elephant at the circus, does that make you skinny? And so, so in this case, I think they're doing a great job under the circumstances. But I don't, I still don't think it's enough. And to be the organizer of our group of 2,200 parents, and from conferences and different conferences and divisions, and if you interview 30 different parents, you get 30 different answers as far as how things are done, information. But the one thing that's been in common is the lack of information. We're not, and there, I think the reason behind that is because in most cases, the answer to the question is not known. They don't know. And so, but, you know, to have your 18-year-old away from home, it's, I mean, you go the first 18 years of not controlling, not hovering, but being a parent, then all of a sudden you're put in this situation. And so I think a lot of schools just don't have the answers.
Chris, I mean, I know that you and your organization with your wife have laid out a lot of concerns, but as we make that turn toward the football season, whenever it starts, assuming it starts, what is your biggest concern?
That's a great question. Initially, what we were really driving home is that we wanted mandated, enforceable COVID-19 safety protocol across the board. And finally, we're starting to see conferences taking that position, which is, I think, a stop that needs to be made on the path to having a season. But our next concern after that is, we'd like to see a third party to oversee the enforcement of these mandates, because one of the things that parents have all brought up, a lot of parents have brought up, is that with the concussion protocol that's in place, they've had problems. Kids have been asked to play when they shouldn't have played, and so what's going to prevent that from happening with the COVID-19 mandate? So we want a third party to oversee the enforcement of the mandates that the conferences are coming up with. I think it's the right direction to go in. I think it's a must that the conferences have to go, but they've got to be there's got to be some oversight.
Chris Hinton is our guest. He's a 7-time All-Pro. He and his wife are shepherding an organization of college football parents. He has a son at Michigan and Stanford, both 5-star athletes. And Chris, as you hear this debate about playing or not playing, certainly you look around the country and league after league, smaller leagues are bailing out. Yesterday we heard the SEC, today the Pac-12, where that involves your son. They're waiting until September 26th. But you're also hearing, at least in the beginning, rampant outbreaks at schools. We don't really know at some schools because they're not releasing it. How concerned are you that your sons are going to get sick?
It's a concern. And I'll be the first to tell you, in regards to the Hinton household, our boys were safer at home. No question about it. And so that is a concern. We did, as a family, all the right things, followed the guidelines, CDC guidelines, as far as mask and social distancing and hand washing and all those things. And so, yes, I mean, we're concerned because, as you know, with football, it kind of goes against all the recommendations in dealing with a pandemic. You know, social distancing, you know, don't spit, you know, something as basic as that. And that's what our kids are going to find themselves in. And I think the really tough part about it is when you start looking at the fact that it's money driven, and that our kids are the pawns in this game, this chess game, to try to figure out a way to create revenue. And it's just, it's actually revealing something that we've known all along that that's the case, but it's just, you know, it looks bad when it's like put in your face, and that, I think that's what we're dealing with right now.
It's interesting what you said there, Chris, because I've had countless commissioners and ADs come on, and you've heard the same thing. You keep up with this, and they all say that the athletes are safer on campus, and sometimes it depends on where they are. But I want to expand that to asking you, what do you think the right course here is? Do you think they should continue on with this truncated season of 10 conference games in the two leagues that your sons are involved with? Or do you think at some point they need to come to a different conclusion that it's simply not worth it?
Well, Paul, first I'll say this. I've been directly involved in football for the last 50 years, whether it's player, coach, fan, mentor, and I want to see a football season, but not at the expense of putting 18, 19-year-olds in harm's way. And so, some kids are safer in that environment, but I struggle with the fact that if money was not involved, like in the case with the Ivies, they made the decision not to have football. And I'm not pushing for, like I said, I want a season. I just want it to be done right, safely, and that money's not on the top of the list of concerns. And if I'm the commissioner, if I'm Sankey, or if I'm, I'd probably be doing the same thing, but as a parent, I wouldn't. I money wouldn't be a part of the equation for me. It's my son's our son's safety, and so it's, we'll have different answers.
Chris, I know you hear, because we hear it every day, and statistics are always available depending on how you want to use them, but young people really don't get sick from this. I've spoken to young people who have shaken it off fairly well. That's right now, though. Nobody really knows what happens with this disease, as I'm sure you know and your wife knows. So at some point, as a parent, and especially the parents with whom you visit with, what else can you as a group do if you don't like the direction that you see as we get closer to the start of this season?
Well, the one thing, Paul, is yes, the recovery rate is great for kids in that age group, but the other thing is the pressure that testing 600 having 600 tests in a week, 500 to 600 tests in a week, if you're testing twice with your program, and putting the pressure on the public health system. And the other thing is putting the pressure on the communities and potential spread. And I hesitate in even bringing it up because it's such a sad situation in our local high school district here in where I live. There's a kid who had COVID, not sure where he got it or did he pass it on to his parents, but both of his parents just recently passed. Within a 4-day period, he loses both of his parents. So did he bring it home to them? I don't know, but that scenario is something that that should be a part of the discussion, not just the fact that there's a low rate of kids in that age group getting sick. So, if I'm a first responder, I'm concerned about tests being put towards football players versus people who really need it. So, and I get it. I mean, there's a lot of money on the table, a lot of money on the table, but I think sometimes you just have to make the decision that what's best for the student athletes, which isn't always the case.
Chris Hinton, 7-time All-Pro, 2 sons at Michigan and Stanford. Chris, thank you for sharing your comments with us. Let's hope for the best. We'll stay in touch. We really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Paul. And just as I say, safety over money.
Well said. Thank you very, very much. Chris Hinton, who certainly knows, played college football many years in the NFL and has 2 outstanding children at Stanford and Michigan, his concerns about college football. We will take a break and get your reaction to that. We'll take a look at what the Big Ten is up to a little bit later on. We're back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Let's get back to the calls. And again, what an extraordinary conversation we had there with Chris Hinton about the seriousness of what is going on. Not that anyone is surprised by that, but the parents' view we had not been able to hear very often. I've heard it privately, and parents of young men at all schools are naturally concerned. They also want to see college football this fall, like we all do. Let's get back to the calls. And Ray is up next in Alabama. Ray, thanks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you doing today?
Ray, I am doing great. Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener, and I come from a small town in South Alabama called Georgiana, Alabama.
I know where it is.
Okay, we had some teams go in the Final Four several years in basketball. We had some good football teams. My reason for calling today is I read an article pertaining to Alabama, which I'm an Alabama fan, and it was saying that Alabama may wear a logo on the sleeves pertaining to the police injustice and Black Lives Matter. And I seen people was outraged in the comments and tweeting bad, was mad about it. I'm going to hang up and you just tell me what you think about it.
Yeah, Ray, thank you for calling. That is a new proposal, not a proposal, but a new some new guidance by the NCAA that will allow, they govern the uniform, and they're going to allow, like every other league, young people to express themselves. I know that there have been some people uneasy with that, but I think you just have to understand where we are right now in history, and people can continue to fight it, and many are, or embrace it, as many others have done. And I think that's all you can do. And I applaud any young person who wants to express themselves, especially about something they feel very deeply about, which I know, having spoken to many young people about this issue, they care about it. They want to express themselves. I can't help but think how I would battle my parents about things many, many years ago, how I wanted to express myself and generation after me. And obviously this is a little bit different, though. This is a not only a national conversation we're having, but an international conversation. Thank you very much for the call, Ray. I appreciate that very much. And Let's check in with Adam, who is in New York. Adam, you're on the air, and good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. First-time caller. Love the show. Hope you're doing good.
I am. Thanks.
I just wanted to get you to help me figure something out real quick. So I was watching the program yesterday, and Sankey came on and said, okay, we've got a schedule figured out, sort of. We got to do 5 home games. Oh, by the way, I need to mention I'm a lifelong Gamecock. Go Cox. We got 5 home games for every SEC school. We got 5 out-of-state away games for every SEC school. And this is all because of COVID-19, right? We got to be safe for our student athletes, so we're going to do this format instead, right? So we got 5 home, 5 away, but South Carolina playing Clemson, which is an hour and a half up the road, that's out of the question because we will definitely catch COVID. Is that what he's trying to say? Help me figure this one out, Paul. And
no,
thanks for taking my call.
Adam, thank you. I hear you. And every league that has made this determination has eliminated some very short games. So the Big Ten eliminated non-conference games, and they had Iowa and Iowa State. You've laid out the SEC. I think the SEC had to make a determination of what they can control, and they control all SEC games. Remember, television is an important part of all this. As long as there is an SEC game with two schools involved, the SEC network can broadcast it, ESPN can broadcast it, CBS can broadcast it. These are all partners of them. If a game is being located, if just South Carolina Clemson, that may not. You would think maybe the SEC wouldn't control the network, the television of that as easily. So I think you can hide behind COVID on this, but it's not going to be a winning argument considering that in the SEC you have Texas having to travel halfway across the country for the majority of their road games. Texas A&M, I should say. We've hit the bottom of the hour break. We appreciate you being here. We have more to come, including a Big Ten report at the top of the next hour. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flail.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back. Great to have you here. So many interesting parts of this college football season, and you know, we're all excited that the schedule has been nailed down, but what is it going to look like? During our break there, we heard Ray Tanner talking to Peter about maybe 20,000 people at a game. It just came across that that the ACC has sidelined bands this fall. I don't know of anyone that's inside the bubble of college athletics that's surprised by that, but it is going to be a reality to a lot of people. And I think we're moving from the are we going to have football phase to the what can we complain about phase. I'm as big a fan of marching bands as you are, but it's hard to do social distancing with a marching band. Although it's, you know, games are going to be different when we get down to that next step. Let's get to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Joseph is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Joseph. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Paul. Glad you're doing well. Thank you for my call. I was just got in actually a little while ago, but I was listening to, when I was on the road, listening to Richard Cross on Sports Talk Mississippi, and he was talking about the Pac-12 had already released their schedule. And I know we have not yet, let's see, but a lot of their rivalry games have been pushed back like to week one, that there are games that in week one, week five, once week 10. So how are we going to work that out? If you know how we're going to work that out. And also, I wanted to ask you this. you know, I know that our schedule this year, we have Florida, the Rebels, you know, we have Florida and Vanderbilt. Well, you know, of course, we have Vanderbilt every year, but we have Florida this year. So the two games we would bring in, we bring in, what did y'all say yesterday, maybe Kentucky and Tennessee?
Yeah, no, I think we were premature yesterday, Joseph. They are still trying to figure that out. Here's what they are telling us, without telling us very much, that they're going to leave the schedule in the future there. Otherwise, it's just way too confusing. What they are trying to come up with for every school is some balance, which, by the way, is virtually impossible.
Of course.
Yeah, and what I think what they don't want, let's talk about Alabama this year. It has Georgia on the schedule and Tennessee. So you're already playing, so Alabama's playing already probably what's considered the best or the second best team in the East. Do you add Florida from the East to that schedule?
That would be insane.
Yeah, you probably don't. But
that's not fair at all.
So with Georgia, do you add, I'm trying to think, you already have LSU, Auburn, you don't want to add LSU, do you? So you're, I mean, the problem is no matter how you do that, someone is going to get royally jobbed.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I want to say this about the bowl games. Okay, so in these little small bowl games, you know we've got a million now, which I think is crazy because when I was growing up, we didn't have hardly any bowl games. I mean, we had, you know, what counted. But let's see. Okay, well, we're sitting here right now saying the reason we're changing this is because of the virus, that people don't want to travel or we don't want our teams to travel. Well, what about even the college football playoff? Like, let's say if a miracle, if Ole Miss makes the Super Bowl again this year or whatever. And, I mean, that's going down to Louisiana and New Orleans, which is the hotbed. But they're saying that's okay, or the college football playoff.
Well, I mean, the bottom line, Joseph, is nobody knows. And I know fans love this part of the equation, but I don't think any bowl games have any earthly idea right now what they're going to look like. I mean, that's another part of the conversation, but it's really not relevant at the moment, unless you're a bowl director. But the idea of large crowds going to bowl games, now maybe in December things are going to be better. We'll be closer to a vaccine, but the one thing about moving the season back is we're knocking out some bowl games. I mean, bowl games start usually December 17th, 18th, that weekend where the Pac-12 and the SEC game, that's a bowl game weekend. There are a lot of games that weekend. I think the Las Vegas Bowl, usually Montgomery has a bowl, New Orleans has a bowl. So those early bowl games are really going to be under tremendous pressure. As far as the college football playoff, it's still on for the same dates. Could that be adjusted? I don't think so. Because you're starting to really knock into the NFL, but remember, the NFL schedule has been set, but we don't know if that's going to be intact. I mean, I think we say this every day. Nobody really knows anything. It's still operational today. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. Brad is up next. Hey, Brad. Good afternoon. Brad, you there?
Yes, sir. I am.
Well, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I am a first-time caller, and I just had an interesting find last night. And like I said, I'm from Louisiana, and it was 10 years ago during the Iron Bowl. You did a interview with a Mr. Harvey Updike. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, I do.
Well, unfortunately, he just passed away. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah, no. And we mentioned that earlier, Brad. But, yeah, he passed away yesterday. I believe he was 71. And for those who don't know the story, I'll repeat it. Harvey Updike, big Alabama fan who lived in Louisiana, called in this show in January of 2011 and admitted poisoning the iconic Toomer's trees right off the Auburn campus.
Well, a question that I had, I just want to get your take on what do you think about maybe if somebody had the notion to go ahead and mill those trees, and maybe they could send some of that lumber for a nice cost casket for that man to lay him to his final rest.
Well, Brad, unfortunately, those trees are down. They died thanks to Harvey Updike. And I was down at Auburn a couple of months ago, right around where they were, and that's a hole in that campus that will never, ever be replaced. Hey, thank you for the call. We'll take a break. We'll talk about the Big Ten a little bit later on. We've already told you that the Pac-12 has mirrored the SEC with a September 26 start and a December 19th Pac-12 championship game. We'll take a short break. Back with more of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back here on a Friday afternoon, and who better to cheer you up than the famous drummer from the 60s, I-Man.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Rap, tap, 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 tap. How are you doing today?
We're doing pretty well.
Yeah, you know, I hate to hear the news of Harvey Updike moving on to the hereafter, but, you know, he just wasn't a good guy. He was not a good man.
Did you ever meet him?
No, I never got to meet him, but I thought that I was fixing to be all up in his trial. And, you know, after some things he said on your program, he talked about Cam Newton. He mentioned Tammy a time or two, and he mentioned me a time or two. And you know, when he threw my name out there, it's obvious to me that there's and you told me years ago, if anything weird gets weird, you let me know. That's what you told me. And it's obvious there's some people that just don't get sports radio talk. I mean, here's this idiot out here doing these things because his team wasn't man enough for those 60 minutes, and Auburn got them. And somebody simply duct-taped number two on a jersey on Bear Bryant, and you know, he's got all this stuff going on in his head. I can only imagine how he treated people on the streets, on the roads of Texas, being a state trooper. And because we see who he was. We saw who he really was and what he was all about. And I just wasn't impressed with him much at all. I mean, and if I'm not mistaken, the last time he called, he said he was never going to pay Auburn anything, and his daughter was making his restitution payments. Is that correct?
Yeah, the last time he called, it was such a disturbing phone conversation. That
it was.
I've tried to expunge it from my memory.
Well, you can't because, I mean, guys like him, and like him and Jim from Tuscaloosa, they just linger around in your mind, and for no particular reason, because they're a train wreck. They've been a train wreck their whole life, and it's unfortunate both of them got hurt at such a young age. I mean, you can only, listen, you can't play football and baseball in mama's porch. Sometime you got to go out into the yard and get in the grass and play with other people. And you got to have other little boys around you to play with. And unfortunately, Jim and Harvey, neither one must have experienced the camaraderie of hanging out in the neighborhood, riding bicycles, getting in fights, making up, getting in fights, making up, and just doing what kids do. And it's a sad thing that both of them in their 70s totally missed that out and just missed out on all of it. And I don't understand why. I mean, was it something their mama did to them and made them stay up there? Or did they just lack the courage to get off the damn porch and be somebody? As always, Paul, guess what? We're rolling and we're getting faster. And it looks like we might have some football, but I'm having a feeling the way this thing has been delayed that we're looking at maybe a game or two, and then somebody's going to pull the plug on everybody on the entire season. What are your thoughts about that?
I just want to see it start. Randall is up next. Hello, Randall.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
It's going great. Thank you.
Long-time listener, first-time caller, huge fan. But I've got to say I'm a little disappointed in the inventory you gave of SEC sidelines and the marching bands. I'm a music teacher. I went through college with that whole experience of having to be out there, well, not having, enjoying, loving being out there on that field. I feel like college marching band is a integral part. The festivities, the pageantry, the whole event. I feel like the marching band carries a huge part of that. It's not just the football team. I don't know if you've ever been to a football game without a marching band there.
Randall, let me allow me to explain for 1 second. And I am very close friends with some of the directors at Alabama and other schools, and I always make a point to visit with the marching band whenever I'm at a game, because I've taken pictures and really enjoy it. I did not mean to be flippant. The only thing I was that probably came off flippant was the concept that it was going to happen this year, and I just don't think it was ever realistic to have a marching band sit together, march together at a college football game. And maybe it will still happen. I was just relating the ACC. I'm not being dismissive at all. I'm just saying that in the COVID era, that is not likely to happen.
I understand that, but the words that you said were it was something else to complain about. Now,
well, I meant that in the same vein that people are going to argue about the schedule. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not surprised by your call. I'm happy you called, because I understand the passion, and I know many people that today, 30, 20, 10 years later, are still extremely proud and should be. Of marching for whatever school they did, but you are complaining, so I think I was pressing it in that prediction, wasn't I?
I believe so. That, I mean, I understand there's a concern about it, but there's also
let me ask you: do you think this year it's a good idea to have marching bands?
Well, in an FBS school, not FBS, I'm sorry, FCS school. There's been some adjustments made to where there are possibilities for social distancing, to where there is possibilities for those players to socially distance themselves, but still be part of that pageantry, still be part of that event, still be part of that college football feel.
I don't mean to come off. This is not meant toward you, but I don't know if people understand. I think they do. Randall, the extraordinary challenge that college administrators have right now to get a game underway, let alone have all the things that we love about college football included.
Absolutely. I agree that it's a very tough sort of subject to try to work around and make a working solution for it. And as a high school band teacher, I'm doing sort of, on a much smaller level.
Randall, let me offer this, because we have to go. I apologize if I infringed on anyone's band devotion, because I am not. I'm a huge fan of that, and I apologize to you and all your colleagues. I was just more speaking of the reality of 2020 and all the things that we're not going to have. I just hope we have a college football game. Back with more.